Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. We have Pastor John Durden for 1 hour and 20 minutes. There'll be no questions and answers. When he gets through, he's going to say amen and goodbye. Have any questions, email me at overtonavy1@gmail.com. Without any more interruptions, Chaplain John Durden.
Good evening, everybody. Again, this is Brother John. Since I'm not a chaplain anymore, I just call myself Brother John. It's good to be with you again. And for those of you who do not know me, I'll share my educational background, my employment background with you. First of all, education. I have three master's degrees. The first degree is in human resources. That's the way they say personnel administration nowadays. In my days, it's called personnel administration. Now they call it human resources. And as a result of my human resources degree and master's in it, I was a counselor and a federal employee. And I was working in personnel administration. My prior position was to hire federal employees for federal positions. And I did that for 30 long years, hiring people for federal positions, ranging from with salaries ranging from $12,000 to $120,000. I was hiring secretaries, executives, and engineers, and different types of managers and accountants and all these other kinds of things, and medical personnel, too, to work on the Army bases. Then when I got down to my last 2 years of the 30 years I did, the Lord called me to the ministry, so I went and entered into seminary. And while there, it was required 3 years to get your master's in theology. So while I was there, I got a master's in Christian counseling after the second year, and when I completed the three required years, I obtained a degree in theology. And as a result of that, I was hired as a chaplain at one of the major hospitals. And they didn't hire me as an intern. They hired me as a senior chaplain. So I had to burn the books many, 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 many nights and months. They put me in the chief position when I was supposed to be an intern. But so be it. This is an interesting subject. Here I am, 80 years old, and I'm teaching about demonology, spiritual warfare, and stuff like that. And remember, I'm an old-time Baptist and an old-time Methodist. I was a Methodist for my first 20 years, and I was a Baptist for the latter part of my years, until about 10 years ago, or 12 years ago. And I never thought at this age I'd be sharing the word of God regarding spiritual warfare, like demons, all the different types of demons, how they possess mankind, how they act, how you can determine what kind of demon is messing with you, trying to influence you. How many you also can tell who's possessed with demons. And the whole ball game is that find out you got to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, and especially the Holy Spirit to deal in this ministry. This is not, you know, like when you're a chaplain, you know, something like that, you can walk in the hospital and good morning, darling, how are you doing today? And you go from room to room to room and just pray with them, our Father, which art in heaven or whatever, and in Jesus' name, have a good day, walk out, stuff like that. And then you can be in other ministries and you can be a phony minister, you can be a phony chaplain, you can be a phony gospel singer, you can be a phony evangelist. And get away with it, because you can go do your role, say your little self, and then go back home and go to the hospital and counsel the poor little folks in the hospital, you know, for 6-7 hours. Then when you go to church, you can preach for 2 hours, whatever, and have a little banquet, then go home. If you are an evangelist, you can go traveling from church to church to church to town to town to town and say some good biblical teaching and stuff like that. Boom. But guess what? You get away with it, no problem. The only person you can fool, I'm just talking about those who are not righteous. And if you're not righteous, you're just playing the game. Well, all three, the Godhead, would know exactly where you are, your spirit and everything else. You can fool the congregation, and you can fool the people who listen, the people who are attending your teaching and all these other kind of stuff. But there's one profession in this field, in the religion field, that you can't get away with, and that's being a deliverance minister. Because when you're dealing, if you're a deliverance minister, that means 100% you're dealing with demons. And when a people call you and say, I want you to come and cast this demon out, my child is screaming, coming at me with a knife, and everything else. And I had the child, you know, the exam, and they said, there's nothing wrong with her mentally. I don't know why she's trying to kill you. Why is she cussing you? And why is she stealing money out your purse so he can smoke dope and all these other kinds of things? And he can't figure it out. And just, well, anybody have a demon, they look at you like crazy, say, well, have a good day. They shut that off right then, you know, because I remember many times, like 9, 10 years ago, when somebody had a problem and I knew what it was, and I said, her problem is some, and they look at me, you know, the minister, like, this dude crazy. Sir, the man is crazy, or the woman is crazy. There ain't no demon. All the demons in hell, where you come from? I thought you was a preacher. I said, the Bible said there's two types, those who are heavily sinful. They went down into hell. But there are still others who are serving them right along Satan's side. Satan is the kingdom of this world. And the Bible says that as well, okay? Now, with respect to these demons, you can't play hanky-panky if you're a minister of deliverance, because the demon would tear you out. Like one example, you can go in the room, because I heard many folks who decide they want to cast out a demon, I can do that. And they go to the person's house and say, you know, the person comes to their house, to the church, and they go down into the basement and be trying to cast a demon. I say, come out, you name, you demon. And the demon say, you don't have no power over me. You got my brother in me. You got my brother in you. And you, what you mean you got your brother in me? What you talking about? Well, you ain't nothing but a faggot, reverend. You ain't nothing but a faggot, deacon. You ain't nothing but a queer sister, so on. You ain't nothing, you know, this kind of thing. And they call out your sins and everything else. Boy, they know everything, because there's one spirit that follows you around. That's what you call a familiar spirit. But that's one position that you can't get away with, being a deliverance minister, because when you say come out, that demon going to listen at you. And go, you hear a growl like a dog growl, you know, stuff like that. And then the demon will speak to that woman in her voice and say, you don't have any power over me. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm Dr. So-and-so-and-so. I graduated from such university. You're going to come out. And that demon will speak through that woman or through that man, whichever sex you're trying to help, will come back at you and say, you say one more word to me, you're behind a be butt naked, and I'll deal with you. I'll ram a pole up your butt. You keep on talking to me because you're sinful. You're just as sinful as we are, you phony-ass preacher. That's exactly how they talk back at you, because they know all your sins and everything else. And you'd be going on. And then you come back, hey, with pride jump in. You didn't hear me. I said, come out in the name of Jesus. He said, well, I told you. And wham. And then you've seen this about 30, 40 times, folks. Right then the demon say, I told you not to talk to me because you're sinful. You're just as sinful as I am. You're behind, going to be right down there with me in hell, buddy. And then the demon would strip off all the pastor's clothes and then strip it and send them up in the sky. I mean, the sky, but up in the ceiling. And boy, where this happened at these churches, people can't believe. Some start running out of church and everything. I say, hold up. The demon's not after you. The demon is at this phony preacher right here. I say, he's not really a man of God. And you heard the demon say, you just as sinful as I am. That kind of thing. You have no power over me. You know why you don't have a power over me? Because you in sin. The only kind of if he's a bishop, a preacher, an evangelist, just a regular choir director, just a regular loving person who like to go to church, but, you know, but live in a simple thing, and you try to lay down a come-out demon, and you ain't right. Even a lie, you don't get away with it. Say, you just told a bunch of lies. You never screwed nobody. You never committed adultery, fornication, anything, but you lie like Trump. And then you give them, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, my mom. Or come out, my brother. Come out, my brother here, my sister here in the Lord. And that demon will look at you and say, you don't have any power over me, dear. You don't have no power over me. You got my brother in you. What you mean you got my brother? You lie 24/7. You lie every time you open your mouth. And when you're exaggerating, that's a lie. That's what the demon tells you. Even when you're exaggerating, I got these degrees and I got that, that's a lie. And you're trying to exaggerate to make yourself look good. And a demon just, I got him. And the minute you say one more word, he tells you, shut up, you better shut up, because you don't. And then he's going to say, well, you know it, whoop, all your clothes off, and your butt naked, and especially if it was in the church. Many times I saw this before we got this virus thing. The preacher got up on the pulpit and had about 1,200, 1,400 people in the church. Oh, we got to see our pastor. He's going to cast out a demon. And then the pastor told him, come out. And the demon say, one more time. I said, you don't know who I am. And then, boop, in a second, all the clothes off, and the demons sent him up in the, by the up in ceiling, up their butt naked, talking, Brother John, Brother John, help me, Brother John, Brother John. I said, well, I can't do nothing, Lord, so don't let you down right now. You know, besides, there's some sisters in here who are going to put you up. Sisters, I said, yeah, these are some women who are saints, love the Lord. And they, God gave them the power to bring you down. It didn't give me the power. It gave me the power to tell you or tell you all about demons and what you can't do and what you could do. But you tell me almost to go to hell, and you're going to show me and everybody else that you missed the deliverance. And the minute you start talking to that demon, I was even warned. You say, shut up. Shut up. You don't have no power with me. I'll beat your butt. You wouldn't have me. And then, I have seen over 40-some-odd pastors got stripped butt naked when the church was all in the same building, and when they were doing it separately, like all the parents and church members was looking on their, laptop, and they couldn't believe their eyes when they saw the demon says, you one more time, you got to talk to me. Then say, you don't know who I am. And then he said, shut up, come out. And then that person is, and then the mother, them demons don't have mercy on the mother too. And most of those folks would be trying to cast out demons, their mother beat at us, so they said, come on, son, he can cast out demons. And then the man is suspended up in the air, and then the mother get involved. I'm, Brother John, get my son down. That demon got my son down. He's butt naked. So everybody. And I go, ma'am, I can't let him down. I told him what's going to happen. I says, God have a sister right in here who's going to let him. What you mean, a sister? I say, oh, it's just a, what's her name? I say, her name is Sister Nobody. What? I say, Sister Nobody. What kind of name is that? She's stupid? I said, no. That's just the way she let you know that she's not prideful, because she know the Bible says she can spit out 20, 30 scriptures where it says pride is a deterrent to God. Pride is like being Satan. That's what got Satan kicked out of heaven. Pride. Look at me. Look what I got. Look at all these degrees. Look at my title. And look how pretty I look. Look how handsome I am. Look at this job I got. And that's all pride. And when you do all that, the Lord just turns his back around and says, All I'm looking for is a humble person who loves me with all their heart. I'm looking for a spiritual person. That's how come I can use the Sadducees and the Pharisees in the Bible. Who did I pick? I picked Matthew, Mark, and John. They were fishermen. They weren't theologians. They were fishermen, y'all. And then I got one doctor. That was Luke. But he was a doctor of medicine. He wasn't a doctor of theology. He said, no disrespect. Get all the education you can. But don't be saying, look at me. I got these degrees. And I'm better. We have folks that call us up sometimes. Let me speak to John. How many degrees you got? I go, I got a degree. I got a master's degree in human resources. And I got a, he said, I'm talking about religion. I said, well, I got a master's in theology and Christian counseling. Well, I'm higher than you. I go, Lord, I hear this about a zillion times a week. I'm higher than you. I said, what are you talking about? I have a doctorate degree. All you got is a master's degree. So you remember that here. And then that's one way to show pride. And then before I get on, someone calls you. Let me speak to John right quick. All right, you better know what you're talking about. I got a thesis. I did a thesis on it. I did a doctoral paper on it. And guess what? As soon as he said that, the Lord said, he's lying. I said, sir, you're lying. Huh? I said, you heard me. You're lying. Click. And then sometimes he called, how much degrees you got? I say, I got a master's degree. I'm high. They always say that. Dog, that makes me air. I'm higher than you. And I go, how you figure that? I have a doctor's degree. I got two. I said, well, congratulations. Praise the Lord, sir. But now when you say you're higher than me, it's because you got a doctorate degree and I got a master's degree. If I just had a high school diploma, you would be higher than me. You know why? Because I'm a man of God, and God talks to me. Sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to me. Sometimes Jesus will speak to me. But you don't have nothing. When you get ready to teach and preach, all you're doing is putting your little mind together. So let me see what I'm going to teach today. Let me see what I'm going to preach today. And the Lord said, have mercy. You didn't even check with me to see what I wanted him to teach. You know, these kind of things. But you got your own kind. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a whole thousands of ministers out there love God. I just point out the one that is full of crap. But you got a lot of godly ministers and pastors out there. Man, I love the death, man. Sometimes when I want to join a church, I go to 3 or 4 or 5 of them. Don't even know which one I want to join. And so I go to this one Sunday and go to the other one the next Sunday and then go to the other one next Sunday. Where you been, Brother John? I'm sick. But, you know, I love them all, but I don't want to offend none of them, see? So don't get me wrong. I'm just like, you got good policemen, and then you got those bad policemen who killing all these blacks and everything, you know, where there was a white boy they'll just hold his come over and just put him in the gently put him in the car. There was one where one white boy shot somebody, and they took the boy to the Burger King, bought him a hamburger before he went to the jail. This kind of a thing. So you got all kinds of demons, and I'm going to share those kinds with you. Let me see. I started, the thing started at 1 o'clock. One, two, three. So I think I got 1 to 2:30, an hour and a half. Yeah, 2:30. Okay, let me say a prayer, okay? And then I get into and talk about all those different types of demons. Again, this is Brother John talking at you. I'm 80 years old, and I never thought that I'd be doing this at the age of 80. I thought I'd just be sitting in my little swing, just rocking. Say, well, Lord, it's almost time for me to come up here and see my mama and see my daddy and see my granddaddy and my grandmama, you know? So here it is. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come to you. And I pray that you would anoint me with revelation knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will empower me to teach the word this evening with clarity and simplicity as well as boldness. Also, Father God, may our minds, that's me and all the listeners, be alert and clear and our hearts become receptive. And I pray also that the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, would move in such power that every stronghold of unbelief and discord and vain thought be pulled down and brought into captivity to the glory of your Son, my precious Redeemer, Christ Jesus. And Father God, I pray that your words will bring salvation to those who don't know. They think they're saved because they have joined a church or because they are a deacon or come some position. Salvation is in Jesus, not in positions. So I pray that your words bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to all here in your presence today. And it's in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, Father God, that we pray in unison. Now, because we're talking about spiritual warfare, I'm going to say the spiritual warfare prayer that I do before we go into doing an exorcism, because we got to make sure we are protected. So, you know, the Bible talk about weapons, special warfare weapons and prayer and stuff like that. So it says this, when you always go through, I go to my Bible and then I look at the different helmets and the different protection we have given to us by the Holy Spirit. You heard about the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and the girdle of truth, and the shoes with the preparation of the gospel, and the shield of faith and so forth, and the sword of spirit, and one, and the last one, the weapons of prayer. And so I'm going to break it down to you, because you have to have on, you won't go to Germany or Russia with your bathing suit on. You won't go with your little water pistol, kill some Germans, some Russians, some communists. You wouldn't go over there to fight them with a BB gun, a water gun and that stuff. You better have those AK-47s, those grenades and everything else. Well, see, what I'm saying, why I say that is when you're going against a demon, it's not what you think. Let me see what I'm going to do now. Let's see. I'm going to cut him up this way. I'm going to beat him up this way. And I'm going to beat, you know, all that. The demon just laughing at you because they can see you mentally struggling, talking about how I'm going to get this demon. And it's not you or me. I had learned that, you know, the hard way. But what happened is when you're doing spiritual warfare, that's when your fleshly and mind step aside. Because it's supposed to be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tell you what's the demon's name, how the demon tricked that person, how the demon got that person, still got that person entrapped into his or her sins, you know, kind of a thing. And then that demon can come back and psychoanalyze you. Well, why did you say this? And see, demons are spiritual beings. They've been with Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit for a long time, even before God created the world. Okay? And then when Adam and Eve came into existence, what is that? What are those? And they look at so Adam and say, they're called humans. Now, these are millions, these are angels looking at these first two humans. Wow, look at that. That one, and Adam and Eve, look at them, you know? And so they were able to watch human beings for years. These, and the Bible says they are smarter than we are because they don't have the mind of man. They have spiritual mind. They are spiritual beings, and they're holy beings. And they hear God. God right there in God's presence. God can teach them and talk to them for all those hundreds and thousands of years until God decides to bring mankind into being. So we can't outsmart. The Bible says they are smarter. When Jesus became a man, and then the Bible said what? That the demons was brighter and smarter than Jesus because Jesus had aside all that power. He was a fleshly human being. And another thing I had noticed in my latter years, I said, boy, he's teaching. Boy, Jesus was heavyweight. all the beatitudes and Lord, how should we pray? How far rich on him? I said, boy, he was heavy. But you know what? The Bible said everything he said, he was repeating what his Lord, what his Father was telling him. I wish if I knew and I would say that, I would have put the scripture down. There are several scriptures that say everything he said, it was coming from his Father. Even all the laying on the hands of healing, he was following the direction of the Holy Spirit and his Father, because he was mere man then. The angels was more powerful than he was because he was a mere man. He suffered, going to scream, holler, and everything else. And the devil, when the devil came to tempt him after when he went out to the wilderness, everything he said, guess what? I thought everything he was saying, he was repeating what his Father was telling him, out of the Holy Spirit, you know. And then, too, he ain't no dummy, because Jesus Christ, what? He's called the Word. So whenever time the devil say, jump off this and do that and do this, you know, try to get it and worship me and I'll make you kingdom, this whole world down here. Jesus said, dude, it's stupid. He forgot. And he twists his word. And Jesus said, I am the Word, dummy. You know, I thought about that. I said, man, that's really cute. So here is what we need to have on when we're going to go into battle with demons. First, the Bible says, the prayer, it goes like this. Father, I'm thankful for you. My prayer, I go, Father, I am thankful for your mighty armor. You have provided for me so that I may be able to stand against the tricks of the devil. And I therefore put on, here's the uniform you got to have. Man, I ain't talking about no water pistol, even a gun, a real gun, a grenade. If you had a bomb and throw it at it wouldn't harm him at all. So here is the weapons. When you tell me you're going to cast out demons, you better leave your little water pistol and your gun, your bow and arrow, machine gun, and all that other stuff home, because it ain't going to do nothing, because you're dealing with a spiritual being that you can't even see. So I says this, I therefore put on the helmet of salvation. Why the helmet of salvation? It's to protect your mind and thoughts. The helmet of salvation, because you know what? As soon as you get in the gym, let me see, you start thinking, come out, don't you do it. You do something, and you start telling what the demon what to do, what not to do, and all this. You speaking from your mind, and that demon looking at you says, fool, your little wop mind can't tell me what to do, see? So when you get ready to have go against them, you better make sure you say, Holy Spirit, what should I say? Then the Holy Spirit pull you to the side first, and say, this is what you do. Say this, say that. And if you can't hear the Holy Spirit, can't hear Jesus, you went to that person's house or went to the church and had that person to come downstairs in the basement to do exorcism, that demon will tear you apart. You go down there and tell him, okay, bring him here. I'll cast him out. You know, I'll cast her out. And like I said, that demon will say, what? What did you just say to me? I said, come out, this young lady. She's a good Christian and so on. This man, he's one of my deacons and so on, so on, so on. He's a good, one of my good parishioners. And the demon say, you said one more word to me, and boom. And he's laid out on the floor. All right. So the first one said, helmet of salvation. And why the salvation? The helmet, what? That puts your head, protects your head. Helmet of salvation is to protect you and guard your mind and your thoughts. Because when you put on the helmet of salvation, Lord, I put on the helmet of salvation. That's what you're saying is, Lord Jesus, I'm open to you. You tell me what to say and what to do. I leave my little fleshly mind aside because I can't deal with this demon. This demon know 100 times more than what I know and everything. Seen 100,000 more than I've seen and been around 100,000 times. And I can't outsmart this demon. And then I can't beat a demon in the flesh because demons don't respect flesh. Demons don't care about what you think and what you think. You just see you as a mere human being, you know. He's an angel. Even though he's a devil angel, he's an angel, and he's biting you. Sometimes you say, what is your name? And you know what the demon said to you? They won't say nothing for a while. And after asking for about 20, 25 minutes, I said, what is your name? And finally the demon speaks and say, figured it out. I said, what? I'm asking. I don't have to figure. What's your name? I said, figured it out. Just like that. That's how they talk back at you. And then the demon say, and if you say one more word to me, you're behind to be mine. And then the woman or the preacher or the man or whoever doing the exorcism, you must be able to hear me. I am Dr. So-and-so-and-so. I am Mr. So-and-so-and-so-and-so-and-so, you know. And the demon, they say, okay, I warn you, whoop, and strip all his clothes off, and then take a pole and bend him over and ram a pole up his rectum. We see 2-3 times a week for the last doggone year and a half. I never thought I'd be in this ministry, you know. But God know he can trust me. God know he can trust me. Brother Emmett one called me and said, I need some help, John. You know, the Bible says, you need two to go, not one. I said, okay. And for the last year, I was sitting under the ministry of deliverance. God was teaching me along with Brother Emmett, because that's his primary thing. God personally taught him. Had demons that come in his house and come through this one window while he's in the bed, come through one window and look at him. And then the God say, that's a familiar spirit. That's a whoring spirit. That's a lying spirit. That's a confusing spirit. That's a prideful spirit. And tell them all, and then give them their names. Not only what kind of spirit they are, but God tell them what their names are too. You think you in Africa when they get through telling you those names, you know, that kind of stuff. And so he saw it, and then God took him down to hell so he can see that hell is really real. Man, he's screaming, hollering, calling me, telling my brothers down, you ain't going to believe me. I got to come and touch the Bible, man. And then God strike me down. If I told you what I saw, he took me down. Man, I was laying in the bed after God let all them demons go by. He told me, now I'm going to show you what heaven is. He said, what? I said, heaven is real, my son. And before you know it, come. And his spirit left his body. He looked back at the bed, saw his body laying on the bed. And God said, let's go. And God took him by the hand, took him down to hell. And he saw all those demons. And you know what else he saw? He saw all those so-called believers. I'm talking about evangelists. Just regular church-going people, all those who got one foot in hell and one foot in heaven, I'm trying to say. And they all got on robes with a cross, big cross on their chest. And he heard them, yes, yes, and we love you, Satan. Oh, Master Satan, you're the best. Oh, you're the best there is, man. We worship you, Satan. I go, you seen all of you? Yeah. He says, and then one of them, one of those person who playing godly, saw me and Jesus and said, Jesus, get me out of here. I'm sorry. I've been down here 19 years. Please, Lord, I can't stand no more. Take me, please, Lord. And Lord said, I want to be saved. I want to accept you now. And Lord said, I'm sorry, but nobody gets saved after they die. You get saved before. I died for your sin so you wouldn't die in yours. Only the true believers come up here. Do you understand? And then he went, and guess what? He said they visited about 15, 20 different cages, and was either a man or a woman, an evangelist or a janitor, a grasshopper. I mean, from all walks of life. And then, oh, Jesus, thank you. No, oh, Satan, we love you, Satan. And he tasked all of them to have a sermon ready for him by the time he come back, that kind of a thing. And then in one day, he said, John, there's one thing that really blew my mind. We went to another cage, and there was a woman in there. Oh, she's screaming, hollering. He looked through the cage, he saw the woman. Got worms all her ear coming out of her nose and eyes and everything else, just all a couple of worms and everything, and she's screaming in pain. She said she saw Jesus, but Jesus let her see me. And he says, get me out of here, Jesus. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry I did this. Oh, Lord Jesus, I love you, Jesus. And he said, I'm sorry. It's too late to be saved, honey. What you mean? I see you and you see me. I'm just saying I'm sorry. There's no repentance after death. When you're dead, you die in whatever state you're in when you die, dear. And then she said, the woman looked at Jesus and said, well, the hell with you. I don't need you. That's the way the woman talked to the Lord. And the Lord looked at Satan and said, see what I mean? I mean, looked at Emmett, said, see what I mean? He said, yes, Lord, I see. And he says another thing, John. He says, all those different aisles or walkways down in here, they got different years on it. All those so-called Christians and so people who didn't want to be Christian, you see them. No. This is a special one for people in the ministry. I don't care if you're a professional gospel singer, a preacher, assistant preacher, a counselor, whatever. All the different areas they have as far as Christian is concerned, okay? Christian singers and all. And chaplains, yeah, chaplains too. He said, this wing is for all those who are supposed to be teaching my people how to get saved. And all they were doing, just screwing around, doing all kinds of things except that. And he says, he saw numbers on each cage, you know. And I said, what kind of numbers you saw? He says, one cage had 1492. The next cage, 1493, 1496. 1618, 1617, 1632, and all the way starting back from year 101 all the way up to the present day. He says, and well, he saw this like 20 years ago. So 20 years ago, and he saw 1918, 1905, 1900, and all of them were people who were in the religious field. I'm talking about preachers, assistant preachers, deacons, choir directors, people singing choir, assistant choir director. You name all the fields there is under Christianity, you know. And Bible college teachers, Bible school teachers, high school teachers, and Bible elementary school, you know, and all of stuff. All of them were doing something. And they were just playing games, just had a title, but playing holy. And they all was down there. And in each case, they were all trying to fight. So they do this every day. Every day, they got to preach a sermon to Jesus. And he goes to every cage. People, all religious and folks in the ministry. And, you know, there's a variety of ministries, so I ain't got to name them all again. They all line up, trembling and singing to themselves in their cage and waiting for Satan to come by so they can sing a song to Satan or preach to Satan and these kinds of things. And I said, Lord have mercy. And then he said, John, I never want to go back. And no, not on that. Then God had demons that passed by his bedroom and told him who they were, what kind they were. That dude know all of them, hon. You know, sometime when he visited me or somebody, I'd be over there and be talking on the phone, and he could say, he could rattle off 10, 20, 30 demonic names in a row, just like that. And so that's why God put him in that ministry. And all he had was a high school diploma with some year, half a year of college. But guess what? When he teach, God said, you my man. And God, when he was in my office, God came in there, and I didn't see the Lord, and told him, says, my son, because he was sold out to the Lord, because he was thinking about committing suicide, and I led him to the Lord. And then he was totally devoted, and God knew it. And God said, son, I don't want you to go to school. I don't need you to go there. Some of the stuff they teach is right, and most of them in error. They don't know me. They're just teaching from their mind. They're educated, and they speak from their mind. They're not speaking from the spirit. The person knows me personally. My Holy Spirit is in each one of those persons. The Bible says the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He says, now, if you don't have the Holy Spirit and you playing games like you, Mr. Holy, on Sunday, I don't really care if you're a teacher, Sunday school teacher, whatever, or just a regular member, and you sitting up there, praise the Lord, the congregation, go praise the Lord, rest. And then they don't know me personally. They just know me in the flesh from what they've been taught. You know, but they don't have no personal relation with me. They supposed to have, he said, I'll give an example. You know how much you love your mama? Yeah. Love mama and stuff. And boy, you better not mess with mama. They love mama. Well, guess what? He wants you to love him more than mama. He said, I'm the one died for you, and I love you more than mama can ever imagine. That's how much I want you to love me. And I want you to have a personal relationship with me like you had with your mama. I mean, those who had godly mama, not those who had hellions mama kind of a thing. So you have the helmet of salvation. Like I say, that's to protect your mind. So when you get up to cast the demon, you say, let me see what I'm going to say. And you start thinking, the demon looking at you, talking about, you're trying to think, what are you going to say to me? The demon know, you know, and you tell him, come out. And you got to come more than that. First of all, you got to say this and you got to say that and everything else. First of all, one thing you got to say is, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You know what that is in the spirit? This may sound stupid to you when you say, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Boom, that's like something bounding them, you know, like a strap or belt or something where they can't move or run. As I bind you, and they go, oh, my God. And but see, people don't believe that because they don't know spiritual warfare. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Say, I bind you, Satan. Satan said, man, go to H. You tell me what, you can't freeze me in a position like that. But the moment you say, I bind you in the name, come out. No, come out of him. I tell you, come out of here. Come out. No, ain't no way. You better end your sentence with Jesus of Nazareth. And you got to better say Jesus of Nazareth. Because if you just say Jesus, you still lose. You know why? Because the Bible says there's another Jesus. Another Jesus is a person who don't believe half stuff about, well, Jesus, I don't know. Maybe he is, maybe he ain't. I don't know, but I'll go to church just in case. You know, that kind of a thing. And some say, well, I go, but I don't believe he's the son of God. His mom birthed him when she wasn't even married. She's a whore. You know, this kind of a thing. She ain't been married. She married Joseph. And Joseph was a doggone carpenter. The Bible says Jesus coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and stuff like that. The Bible doesn't say Jesus coming from a wayward woman. She wasn't married, this kind of thing. And that's the way they think. And so that's what them demons were saying. So That's how come some of them teach false doctrine, and some of them don't believe in tongues. Some of them don't believe in this. And some of them, we in heaven now. You know, ain't no heaven up there. We in heaven now. Just at the end, all the unholy folks just die, and we going to outlive them kind of crap. Let me hurry up. 138, let's see. Okay. I started 1 to 2, 1 to 2:30. Well, I got another hour. Okay. And then another warfare weapon you're supposed to have, your uniform. You don't have on a military, army, military, navy uniform on, which you're supposed to have on the helmet of salvation. I told you that. So before you go into warfare, then you pray that prayer with the Lord. Say, Lord, I ask for the helmet of salvation in the name of Jesus. And what you're saying is, God, my mind, God, my thoughts. Let what come out of my mouth when I talk to that demon be led by the Holy Spirit, not what I am a doctor. Think I should say because I'm a doctor, because demons and God and angels don't give a flip about what kind of degree you got. What they're looking at is what kind of life and spirit you have in you. And care less. God can use somebody who just, shoot. Brother Emma's example, he just got a high school diploma. And a lot of guys, pastors and all, other towns, Jewish, over there, having to come over to Jerusalem, going over there. I'm a town, you know, Jesus ain't no God. Jesus was born out of unwed mother, a lady. And so on, so on, so on. You proved to me that Jesus is the Messiah. You proved, and he went to a big auditorium, got about 5,000 people in there. All of them are Jewish rabbis. And you know what happened? He said, Lord, should I go to man threatening me? He told me, I'm always talking about God. He's going to prove to the Jewish assembly there in Jerusalem that I'm a hypocrite and that Jesus ain't no son of God. How can the son of God come out of a whore woman? You know, this kind of a thing. So he said, I'll let you know. So he go ask the Lord. Lord said, Go. I got your back. And that's how he's been doing for the last, 14, 15 years. He haven't written one sermon to this day. Sometimes he call me crying. Tell me, John, do you know, I suppose I got 1,000 or 600 or 500 listeners, and I don't even know what I'm going to talk about. I say, you still get nervous about that, don't you? Yeah. I say, well, you know what's going to happen? Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes the Lord speaks to me, and sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to me. But sometimes I don't know which one's speaking. And then finally, when he said, I got it, Brother John. I said, what? He says, when the Holy Spirit speaks, God told me, when you hear conversation in your left ear, that's the Holy Spirit. And when you hear a conversation coming at you at the right ear, that's Jesus. I said, praise the Lord. She had a comfort in that. And that's what happened. He said, all right. So sometimes I go to this place where he's teaching, and I sit there. I said, this I got to see. And then he looked, we woke up there, he went to me, told me, hey, Brother John, tickle me, you know, high school graduate kind of thing with just 1 year of college. So I said, hey. So he says, I still don't know what I'm going to say. I said, I know what happened. I'm used to it now because you still get nervous. Yeah, I don't know what I'm saying. Look at them people looking at me. Sometimes it's 200, sometimes 300, sometimes it's 400, you know, no higher than that because it's a small place, you know. And then he go, I got it. And everybody look at him, and he look at me, and I know what he's saying. He say, the Lord said, I'm here now, my son. And the Lord would flow through him, boy. And you would think that guy got 700 doctor degrees in theology, you know. And then sometimes he'd call me and I say, you know what the Lord told me? He told me to tell you, Brother John, because you got a doctor, you got a master's degree, and you finished seminary. So on. He'd tell me some factual stuff, and not too big. I say, how you know that? The Lord told me to ask you, is that right? And I go, yeah, thank you. The next thing before I know, he's calling me again. Brother John, I said, what? The Lord told me to ask you, you know, what he just told me. He'd tell me who was brothers and kinfolks and all that stuff with the Bible characters and stuff like that. Who was the brother, so-and-so, and who was the father. What was this bishop name, not bishop, but what was this prophet name, and what his family name was, the whole family tree and everything. All out like a machine gun. I said, my God. I said, you know, God didn't lie to you. I says, I don't want to detour. So anyway, you got the helmet of salvation. You got the breastplate of righteousness. We have to, now the breastplate of righteousness, that you got to be real when you go stand before the Lord. I mean, the devil, okay? You have to gird the truth. You can't be a liar. You can't compromise and all that. You can't compromise the word of God. You got to have the gird the truth. And that demon would know it, because guess what? Then demons know the Bible too. The demons know the Bible too, so don't be talking on junk to them. Well, the word of God says you got to do this, so on. That demon say you lie and laugh at you. And then the other one, the shoes and preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, you must be ready to teach the word whenever God come upon you. Say this to this person. Say, she or he may be offended. She or he was my best friend. I don't want to say that to her. She probably cussed me out and everything else. And God said, well, I can't use you no more. So what I'm saying is when God tells you to do something, you don't do it, don't expect to hear from you no more. He may give you a second chance, but in most cases, three strikes you out. Don't expect to hear from God. If I say that to that person, she'll cuss me out. She won't speak to me no more. She'll think I'm a, oh, yeah, she, most of them say, they think I'm a religious fanatic. Say, okay, I rather think I'm a religious fanatic than say, Jesus say, I can't use you no more, bye. Okay? You then got the shield of faith. The shield of faith to cover your personality, your spirit, your soul, and everything. That's what the shield of faith is. The word of God will just cover you with his strength, with his personality, with and so forth. And then it says the sword of the spirit. When you go into battle with the warfare and you try to cast out a demon, you better make sure you got the sword with you. And everybody know the sword of the spirit is nothing but the word of God. Just like when Jesus was tempted, remember the devil put him out in the wilderness? And Jesus said, it is written. Every time Jesus opened his mouth, it is written. He said it three times. He said, I'm getting the heck out of here, man. This guy, and he didn't know. Jesus come back in the word like that because what? Jesus was the word in the flesh. Jesus was the word in flesh. And so we need to have those kinds of things. Now, what I want to do is, let's see what I want to do. So I'm going to tell you about the different types of demons and how and guidelines for dealing with demons. See, I'm keep up the time because I can be teaching and all of a sudden the thing automatically cut off and I'm just going to town and nobody can hear me because they've been cut off. 1 to 2:30. Okay, here we go. Guidelines for dealing with demons. The Word of God says, one, we must pray for discernment. Discernment meaning finding out what authority that demon have, what authority you have, and how you should attempt deliverance. So pray for discernment is you saying, Holy Spirit, I'm going down here to face this demon. Now, me and sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so and so-and-so, you would give me the words to say, and give me revelation and discernment so I know exactly where that demon is coming from. Number two, recognize the symptoms. When I say recognize the symptoms, some people attack different ways. Some mentally where they sound crazy. You know, you didn't need to go to the crazy house. You know, it's a lunatic kind of a thing. And then some would attack you. You got mental cases. You got physical, always sick, and there's no justification for it. So how come I'm always sick? I don't understand it, you know. Well, it could be two reasons. One is because you're in sin, and God trying to get your attention. You know, like some people don't look up until they fall down as they can go. Some people get saved on the deathbed, you know. God finally got their attention. But then some people get sick because there's something physically wrong with them. They need to go to the doctor. But don't, because Chris Walker, well, it could be two reasons. One, either he got a lunatic spirit in him, caused him to do that so people can laugh at him, mock him, and that way he'll never get saved. Or he's so crazy, you can't talk to him about Jesus. The person died in that state, and then he goes to hell. That's what the devil want to do, see? So some of people acting like a lunatic because somehow they opened the door to a devil, to a demon. They did something, they ain't got no business doing, they kept on doing it, kept on doing it, they didn't have the blessing of God no more. Could he turn your back on God? That's why. Okay. So, you know, there's four things you got to look at. You got to look at why are they acting this way? Is it mental, you know, or is it demonic? You know, make sure you try to figure out, that's the wrong word. Make sure the Holy Spirit tell you what's happening with that person because of physical or because he loves sin, and that's why they're in the situation they're in. And then you must be able to recognize tactics. The devil got all kinds of ways to get you, you know, kind of things like going to fight the enemy. And, you know, the Japanese and the Russian got their spiritual warfare tactics, and the American soldiers have theirs. So the Holy Spirit, so you don't have to worry about it. You're going to, Lord, how can I get away from this demon? How can I get this demon to stop messing with me? How can I get this demon to stop messing with my sister? She up there smoking drugs and all that stuff and told me she don't give a flip. But I say, get my religion butt out. What can I do? And then, see, and they are demonic possessed. And the alcoholic demon got him doing that, and his drugs, see? So you have to, you don't go in and say, well, let me pray with you. Come on up here, honey, and just pray. Our Father, so on, so on, so on. Amen. Go in peace, my brother. Mm-mm. That demon walk out there, still in that person laughing their butt off. No. You got to, first you got to bind that demon, and then listen closely. Now do this, say this, do this. And it's not audible voices, it's thoughts that come into you, into your head. It's thoughts. Like you think to do something, oh, I think I'm hungry. I think I'm going to get a reward. And you go. But if you don't remember anything else, I say, remember, just because you're thinking it, that's not you. It could be you. It could be a demon. It can be the Holy Spirit. It can be Jesus. So don't take for granted you thought of something. You think, boy, she looked fine. She'll have to go to bed, her or him. Man, I need a drink now. Let me get tired. I just got to go get now. I need me a weed. Oh, I got to see him just one more time, her one more time. That ain't you, see? And I give you a clue. When all those kinds of thoughts come into your head, you know? Lord just told me one other. Masturbate. There's a lot who masturbate and stuff like that. See, that's not you. That's that demon. That's that demon. Because you're getting satisfaction the wrong way, kind of a thing. So you got to remember, if you don't remember nothing else, whatever thought comes into your mind, before you receive it with all your heart and soul and spirit, you with that thought ever, you compare it with the word of God. Ho, 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 ho. And then, you know, say, you demon in the name of Jesus Christ, and you flesh in the name of Jesus Christ. Shut up, you know. Sometimes I don't know which one, but a thought come in my head, I say, shut up, I bind you. I just jump on the ball and say, Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. You and all your demonic spirits. I ain't going to hell over being ignorant. Go to hell where you belong. You know, sometimes awful thoughts will come in here because be mad and angry, want to get revenge or something. And I go, no, no, no. God says, he said, no. He said, revenge is mine, says the Lord. That's what the word said. Because I think about some awful way I can revenge some people, you know. I can set them up. I'm not stupid. I wasn't born yesterday. I can make somebody look like they're what they ain't. But God said, The word says, revenge is mine, says the Lord. So you just hear somebody mistreat you and lie on you. If you can correct yourself, fine, without hurting them, fine. But, you know, defend yourself. But then again, give it to the Lord, too, and say, Lord, I got a problem. This person, I ruined my reputation. I did this and this and this. Please help me. Lord got it. Okay. So let me move on. Guidelines for dealing with demons. Continue to minister to the individual after demons have left. In other words, sometimes you might be in that basement or in at her house or his house and be praying with your friends. Come out, demon, you demon. Sometimes it may take a half an hour, an hour for that person to come out. But I'll tell you this, that half hour, an hour you in there, you better not be saying what you think would be a right thing to say or be smart to say. You just batting zeros in. You need to say, you need to be quiet in your spirit and say, Lord, this was a hard one here. What should I say, Lord? What should I do? And then all of a sudden thoughts will come into your head and say, do this, do that. And especially when you say, what's your name? Now you're Dennis, you figure it out. And sometimes you get tired after an hour trying to ask the person demon name. Then you say, oh, Lord, I forgot to ask the Lord. The Lord, what is this demon name? And then the demon will tell you and say, Kubuka. And you say, I know your name. It's Kubuka. And that demon goes, what? Well, who told? How do you know my name? Wait, who told you that? Who told you that? It's shock, see? And they go, oh, Lord, this man, this woman got God's attention. They know that then, see? Do not be discouraged on a faith. Sometimes you might be there an hour, 2 hours, and nothing happened. Well, just pray. Everybody join, pray, go home, and then get with the Lord and fast, you know? And so sometimes he may want you to fast. He may have you to just drink liquids for three days, you know? And then you go back, and then you're a powerful, powerful administrator in casting out demons. And be ready to stay an extended period of time. Like I just said, you have to sometimes be there for 2 or 3 hours kind of a thing. Okay. Now, let me tell you about the different kinds of demons. First of all, man, the time can really go by fast. Okay. 1 to 2:30. Yeah, I got up to 2:30. I'm showing 1:52. Okay. I'm going to tell you about the attributes. Their attributes, their activities, they do. Before being cast out of heaven, you got to remember, those angels were holy, holy, holy angels at the right hand of God, worshiping and praising him all day, every day, and carrying out his assignments on earth, blessing people on earth. And you go to the sister house and do this. Sometimes people be starving, be hungry, and you have testimony and say, you know, I prayed and prayed, and the next morning I woke up to go to the store with nothing, hardly knowing how many, and there's a bucket with numbered food all in it. It's a lot of hundreds of testimonies like that. People out of work and got kids to feed, and they pray out to the God, to the Lord. And then somebody might knock on the door, And then when they finally put their little coat on, little jacket on, go to the door, nobody there. But there's a box there with food in it. You see, God dispatches angels. Those angels go out on assignments every day. You don't know what they're doing. But they all, God hear all our prayers, okay? So whatever this person needs, God will dispatch that angel, go to her house, go to his house, do this. Don't say anything. Just put it on there. Because the Bible says sometimes we may be entertaining angels and don't even know it, okay? All right, the attributes of demons. They are spiritual beings. They're not fleshly beings no more. Talking about the good ones and the bad ones, they are spiritual beings. And those demons can speak, especially when you have them, tell me your name. How you getting hurt? You figured it out. You figured it out. You know, that kind of thing. And demons believe, they believe in Jesus. Because the Bible says, whenever you mention Jesus' name, they tremble. That's why whenever you want to do something with a demon, you know, when you're talking to him and everything else, you better start with what? In the name of Jesus. I command you to do so and so and so. Get out of that woman. Stop doing us. And so on, so on, so on. Whatever dictation you're giving that person, you better make sure you begin it and end it in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you know. Quit this and that name. So believe, they believe, they know who Jesus is. They exercise their wills. The devil give them freedom to do what they want to do. Say, I think I'm going to go and make a hole out of that one. I'm going to go out there and make this one pregnant. I'm going to go out there and make this person drive real fast and kill himself. I'm going to make this person go drink up more liquor than they can handle and die in the car, and he died without knowing the Lord. So all these little things you're doing, that's one of the most demonic spirits assigned to you, trying to get you to go straight. You know, hey, that guy sure looked like a woman. It turns me on when I look at his little butt wiggling. And I'm saying that because every day. But I love my faggot. And he got, and her name is Sweetie Booty. Her name is Bloaty Booty. But I got over 30 different names on a pad over there in my study showing some called my sugar, Sweetie Booty. My name is Big Booty, Patty Booty, Lovely Booty, Tasty Booty. So my right hand to God Almighty, y'all. If I'm lying to God, take me dead. I got all kinds of men. Some they don't like what we teach. It ain't nothing wrong with loving another man. I love his butt better than I love my wife's vagina. I have a lot of them tell me that crap because it's tight. That's what they tell me. And I say I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And that just ain't going up because I don't want to hear that crap. And they call themselves going to bless. You ought to come down there and rape you and show you what it's like. I said, you come down here, you be another Goliath. What do you mean? I said, Goliath was the big man, the big dude, going to come at little David, and what happened? He got his head chopped off because David was working under the Spirit of God. I said, me and my brother, we protected by the Spirit of God. I said, every one of them that came down here, never, none of them made it. They either died in the car or they had a serious automobile accident, and they got lost and everything else. We get threats every day. I said, I never believed that there were that many crazy and deacons come down here on the threat. And we heard you talking. We don't like what you say. And then we'd be told in the spirit, say, oh, he's screwing the pastor's son, and the pastor don't even know it, you know, one of the deacons. The mother gets there. You just shut up. We come down here, and I'll have the pleasure to be the one to hold you down while they busting your butt wide open. I had over 100 mothers telling me that. You know, over 100. And if I'm lying, may God strike me down dead right now. And I ain't dead. I'm still working. Okay. So attributes of demons, they are spirits. They can speak. They believe. They exercise their wills. They can demonstrate intelligence because they're smarter than we are. They have emotions. They recognize Jesus. They have supernatural strength. They have supernatural presence. They are eternal. They don't die. You know, they live forever. Right now, they wander around in the second heaven. That's where all the stars and the planets are. That's their heaven, okay? When God kicked them out. He kicked them down to earth. But Satan is the lord of hell, of the earth. They have their own doctrines. You know, they have their own doctrines. Let me see. What do you mean when they really, really like to kill people with? Tongues have ceased. Tongue has ceased. And I heard that from the time I was from 1 to 20 years of age. And then when I moved and came to Atlanta, from the time I was 30, till I was 30, all I heard, we have. And then finally, I guess that was the whole inspiration, Holy Spirit. I said, Lord, I don't believe that's what they told me, but I ain't got nobody else to teach me. That's what they say. So I guess they know what they're talking about, you know. So I said, Lord, help me. Why did I say that? The next thing I know, I had thoughts like, go home, son, down back to Savannah, and go see such and such and such a person. And I called my sister. I said, sis, I need to go. And so I said, she said, you mean you believe that mess? I said, what, you speak in tongues? She said, yeah, I've been in tongues for the last 10 years. I said, you didn't tell me. She said, I know, because you wasn't ready to hear it. You would have called me and you would disown me. You would say, I don't let the devil trick me and all that, and I'm for the devil. And I didn't want to hear my own brother saying, oh, you ain't nothing but the devil now. So I ain't never said that. I prayed for you. I prayed for you for 10, 12 years, my brother. I said, you did? She said, yeah. So she said, come on, let me take you to my pastor. Went there, and he says, I only got two things to ask you. Are you saved? I said, yes, I am, sir. Are you really, really saved? I'm not meaning go to church on Sunday and hanky-panky on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I said, no, sir. I said, I ain't that stupid. I ain't going to hell. But I was shocked. The last thing I was shocked about when the Bible said even lies go to hell. So I ain't going to lie to you, you know. And ain't no woman tookie going to cause me to go to hell either. And not no man booty going to cause me to go to hell either, you know. He said, wise man. He said, now, so sound like you've been born again. Are you born again? I said, yes, I am, sir. He said, but praise the Lord. He said, now, you can't be hindered, because you can beg God and give you the tongues all day long, but if you're just lying and don't believe some of the stuff in the Bible, you ain't going to hear from God. That's why some people try to prepare sermons. I want to teach and go to the hospital and pray. Tell them, Lord Jesus, the Lord ain't listening to them, because they're phony. They're phony. So you got to be real. And so he says, you go down there. God told me he loves you, and he's going to bless you, because that was him who kept you from believing that crap. I said, okay. I went down there. I ain't got nothing yet, Reverend. He laughed. My sister laughed. He said, you got to ask me for it. Oh, okay. Lord, give me the gift of tongues, would you please? And then I shut up and I'm waiting. He said, Brother John, we're looking at you for the last 15 minutes. What's your problem? I said, well, I asked him for him like y'all say. He said, you got to start speaking. I don't know how to speak tongues. He said, no, just start praising him. And before you know it, that praise would change into tongues. I said, okay. I said, thank you, Father God. I just love you and I praise you, and I ain't going to hell over that. And I thank you for taking all that beating for me. All that beating. I mean, you could have said, drop dead. And when that guy held up his arm to hit you with that whip, he could have said, arm, drop off, and it was done. Or he could have said, drop dead. And he could, all those soldiers around that cross who was crucifying him and everything else, he could say, all y'all drop dead. They would drop dead because he was God. They were speaking to God. That was God speaking. See? But he took it for us. So he said, they have their own doctrine. He said, those demons are busy, John. I said, wow. So he said, go down and say, oh, Lord, okay. I'm just going to bless you like the pastor said. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I said, thank you. And you know what else, Lord? And I agree with you. In Jesus' name. Man, I started crying. My sister ran down there and about all to hug me and cry. We're crying each other arm. I said, praise the Lord. And the pastor said, see, you have to believe. And the only reason you got it, because that, you know, you in your spirit, you just can't believe that. I said, I don't know why. He said, that was the Lord protecting you, Brother John. Here you are, 38 years old man, just learning to speak in tongues. We've been doing it ever since we were 17, 18, 19, because we had parents that loved the Lord. And we heard it too. I said, okay. He said, but now when you go back, let me tell you something. Don't accuse the preachers and the pastors, okay? I said, what you mean? I said, because they were taught just like you were. They're honest and loving pastors. Just love their parishioners, okay? They love them. And that's the way they were taught. If you were in school from the first grade to a master's degree, and you were told all those years that 5 and 5 is equal to 2, and that's what they're saying, they've been preachers and stuff for 20, 30 years, wouldn't you believe them? Yeah. They're the one got all degrees. I just got a high school diploma. I just got 1 or 2 years of college. If they said 1 and 1 is 2, then they got to be right, because they got these doctor degrees. But see, they got doctor degrees because they bought what was taught. You know, ain't nobody going to go in a seminary and tell me, you said something, you're a liar. They ain't going to say that to the minister who's teaching, the professor. They said, well, it sounds funny, but he ought to know. He hasn't been to school all his life and everything else. So don't go back to, but John said, read tongues too. Don't dare say that, okay? You make God mad at you. and God will convict those who he wants to convict. There's some who are going to say, like, sometimes you get called back and say, the hell with you. Come, have cease, you dumbass. That's the way they talk to me. And God says, don't bother. You did your job. See? But they're going to give an account for that. Every time you teach, they'll call a couple of minutes right after and they speak to that John. You're a hypocrite. If I knew where you live, I'd come and ball jack you. And I go, there you go. You another faggot. Come and ball jacking me, faggot. You know, kind of a thing. They all end up with, I'm going to come and ball jack you. And then their mama, who heard me teach, called, I'm going to come down and I'm going to hold you down for my son. Make a sissy out of you. May God strike me down if I'm lying, y'all. That's the honest truth. Okay. All right. I just said the attributes of demons, they are spirits. They can speak. They believe. They exercise their will, do what they want to do. They can demonstrate intelligence. The Bible said they're smarter than man. They have emotions. They get scared when you say Jesus' name. Man, they start running like jackrabbits. They recognize who Jesus is. I guess so. They used to be up there centuries before God kicked them out of heaven. They recognize they know who Jesus is. They have supernatural strength. They're stronger than man. Okay, they're smarter and stronger than mankind. And they will live for eternal. But when I say live for eternal, right now, they're on the earth trying to drag as many people as they can. Going to grab some by being an alcoholic and do something crazy. Going to have some people who just professional lives. Got some people who's committing sex without being married, which is called fornication. They've been having some who's having sex with some other body, except their marriage partner. That's fun. That's adultery. And all the folks going to hell. Ain't nothing righteous going to go, see? So that's what they do. That's their job because they're so mad at God. He kicked us out of heaven. He did this to us. And they can't realize they did themselves when they follow Satan because Satan won't try to take the place of God. He wanted to be worshipped. And them fools here, hey, y'all follow me. God said, I got to go to earth. Now, probably didn't tell him that he got kicked out. I'm going down. I'm going to be a kingdom. But those who know what happened, he said, I'm going to rebel. And I'm going to make y'all leaders. Y'all going to be my captains and my majors. Oh, yeah, that's great, great, great. That's those demons with angels that had some pride in them. And he got kicked out of heaven, too. See? He got kicked out of heaven, too. Then, what else I want to say? Oh, then you got all kinds. They organized just like the regular army, military, stuff like that, okay? They have, first of all, they have their intelligence. They have emotions. They have self-will. I think I'm going to do this. I think I'm going to do that. They are proud. They are powerful. They are deceitful. They are cruel and fierce, and they're very, very deceptive. And I'm going to give you maybe a couple of what kinds they are. Then I shut up because I don't want to run out of time. And you got some called principalities, some called powers, some called rules of the darkness, some called spiritual hosts of darkness. Now you got, here's their function. Demons serve different functions. Here's 1, 2, 3, 4 of them. One is an evil spirit. What do they do, Brother John? They influence immoral acts. Every little, and you know what, y'all are grown adults, only ain't speaking to teenagers. Evil spirits, they influence immoral thoughts, okay? And then you have unclean spirits. They induce unclean thoughts. I'll get into some specifics a little bit. Then you've got spirits of infirmity. They afflict you with all kind of body diseases and handicaps and stuff like that. Then you want to blame God. Yeah, God did this to me. And, you know, and without asking for healing, praying to them, say, well, Lord, why is this happening? Yeah, God did this to me. Yeah, child, God did that to you. God don't like you. And then they turn your back on God. But they say, God did this to me. I don't know why. So then you got deceiving spirits. What is deceiving spirits, Brother John? Well, deceiving spirits, they produce false doctrines. They're cults, all these different cults. And you got false teachers. You got teachers everywhere in Sunday school, you know, and in Bible college and in Bible schools. Where else? In the churches, Sunday school. You got it. Oh, and most all these educational schools where they have most of these schools, like my grandchildren in elementary school, and they have a class they're being put. It's called religion classes, you know, kind of a thing. But you can bet, believe me, my son and their mother checked it out before we signed them up, you know, and come to find out. We say, how you got saved? And as soon as they move, they say, I accepted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm not saved because I think I'm good. I'm not saved because I got these degrees. I'm not saved because I'm teaching in a Christian school. I just like to teach the Bible, you know, that kind of thing. So the Lord will tell us, we know Well, how you guys say, well, I got a doctorate degree in Christianity and so on and so on. I said, Lord, child, ain't we nothing. Because we wasn't about to drop my kids off to be teached by them every doggone day and talk about Jesus was just a good prophet, a good man, something like that. Out of the Holy Spirit, it's just an energy out of God. So when the Holy Spirit did this, that wasn't a person. That's just talking about how God energized to have things done. Okay, let me sum it up again. Demons serve different functions. They are evil spirits. They influence in moral acts. They are unclean spirits. They induce unclean thoughts. Like I say, watch and monitor your thoughts. Because whatever you're thinking, 24/7, remember this, it ain't you all the time. It could be a demon, especially with an unclean thought. He said, my God, that ain't me. I love my husband. I love my wife. I said, demon, you take your horse butt someplace else. I'm not going to commit adultery. The Bible, the word says even adultery is going to hell. Get out of my house. Get out of my mind. You got to, and you say, I rebuke you. That's what the first thing you say, I rebuke you, you Satan. Are you unclean spirit? You lying spirit. I want to tell the person that I got, that I wrote a thesis on this. What does he say is, you demon, you're lying. I'm not going to tell John that I got a thesis. I did a thesis on demonology. And every time they tell me that, the Lord comes back and say, he's lying. You see, you don't know. Lying is going to cost you about to go to hell too. All right. That was demons, the different kind. They're different functions. Demons also can attack people in different ways. This is some of the ways they do it. They quote scripture, you know, and they miss, like, you got a lot of uneducated people who trying to be teachers and got these staffs in their own little church and all that stuff kind of thing. Nothing wrong with that if they live by God. But you got a lot of them just want that authority and that recognition. And they quote scripture, but they quote scripture the wrong way. They misinterpret it. They teach, and they teach their own doctrine. Okay, Holy Spirit is not God. That's just a plug in the wall and light turn on. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit does. It's electricity. Would God speak, and then that Holy Ghost electricity would cause it to come into being. I said, Lord, have mercy. They transform themselves with angels of light. Yes, I love the Lord. Praise the Lord. And yes, the kind of stuff. Encourage evil men to pervert righteousness. Isn't that something? Yeah, because we all get it every day, you know. They know me, but they still. Like I went in the store, the grocery store the other day, and I ordered, I had my groceries. I went up to the counter and said, how are you? I never saw you before. The woman was fine, everything else, you know. I said, well, I'm John. I didn't say Chaplain John. I guess I said Chaplain John. The woman went in the store. She said, you know, you're an all right looking man, you know. I said, yeah. She said, I'm not married anymore. I got four kids, you know, and grandkids going. I live by myself. I said, well, praise the Lord. Good luck to you, you know. She said, how about you? I said, happily married, darling, you know. And nice talking to you. You have a blessed day. And walk out. Oh, you go, because she said, I live by myself. Give me the hand. You go, wow, yeah, I can go over there. I don't have to worry about somebody seeing me. I just say, you have a good day, darling. I didn't call her a whore, bitch, or nothing like that. I just say, have a good day. Nice talking to you. Walk on out. And then every time I go back to the store, she look at me with my eyes on. He turned me down. I can read her eyes looking at me like, you know. So, and they tempt with pride. That's another thing those demons do. They tempt with pride. They say, oh, man, I'm the baddest tempter in the world. I can tempt this woman and give it up anytime I want. All I got to do is bring Johnny Doe or Henry this past. And she, because I know what she likes and what she don't like. I know what she's attracted to or what she's attracted to and what they ain't and what, and, you know, these kind of things. Them demons are smart. They know what you like and don't like because they learn all that from that spirit called familiar spirit. And they produce counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. You know, be sick in the name. You will. And then the counterfeit comes, oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor. Not knowing that's the pastor or whoever is who's the visiting minister. And I want to apologize. I keep saying pastors, not always pastors, okay? It's people from all walks of life. Let me get that. See, the Holy Spirit just told me, say, quit saying that, you know, because I don't want you to think, oh, John was talking a whole lot and all these, the pastor. No, it ain't the pastor. It's other folks, y'all, okay? It's other folks. Maybe I should say other folks. But the Holy Spirit say, correct yourself now. It's not Pastor John. I say, I repent. Lord Jesus, forgive me. You know? And so right now, Lord, I repent in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm just trying to give an illustration, and I'm sorry that I keep saying Pastor. I repent in the name of Jesus Christ. I repent. in the name of Jesus. I've seen that all the time. I'm not going to say, and they. And when I say they, that means all piece of work. It can be a janitor. It can be the gardener. It can be the dishwasher, the person who's fixing your hamburgers, all of them, okay? All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for correcting me, you see? Because I'm going to listen. You know why? Because I don't want to fall out of fellowship with the Lord. So it ain't all pastors. I got to say it one more time. It's just people who say they love the Lord and doing all these crap. Y'all forgive me, okay? God bless you. Okay, now, that was how they attack us. Cause people in love liquor, they love sex, they love lying, and all these other kinds of things. These demons are busy. That's how they like to attack Christians. They like to quote the scriptures wrong. They teach wrong doctrine, encourage evil men to pervert righteousness. They tempt our hypocrisies and lying, and that's all they do is lie and everything. They tempt us to lie, and then they fill our hearts with phoniness. Now, I'm going to, let's see, 1:30. Okay, I got about 15 more minutes. Now I'm going to tell you about the different kinds of demons. Lord, I got something else just keep popping in my mind. I ain't following my plan. But I got to tell you this. There's different types of demons. One is called principalities. Okay, they're the top dogs of the demons. It means principality means first and rank in order. They're the top dogs of all the demons. They're called principalities, and they get their powers directly from Satan. Okay, and then they got all these other underling demons under them. They tell them what to do. Then you got the next one who's in power. It's called powers, and what they do. They delegate authority. See, the principal demon is the big headshot. Then he says, "Power, come here," and just maze them too. You go to your flock, wherever they are, from the demons, and you tell them this and tell them that, and you give them authority to do this and do that. Okay, and then you have rulers of the darkness of this world. These spirits are very high-ranking officers as well. Listen now. Spirits of the rulers of the darkness of the world, they are responsible for blinding the minds of people of truth. If I don't believe that, you're teaching a lie. You're a hypocrite. You don't know the word of God. You're taking it out of context. And they say, Lord, they ain't going to believe no matter what you say to him, because that demon has got put hold on them. They are responsible for blinding the minds of people of truth and for facilitating sins and wickedness. That's what they do. They are responsible for blinding the minds of people so they can trick them with false and lies and stuff. See? They affect your thoughts. They affect your feelings. They affect your perceptions of humanity through mass media, because everything you see, they read. It's a bunch of lies, in temptation. They can deceive you through music. They deceive you through movies, especially the pornographic movies. And sometimes some of in my head, a little innocent person say something that's not biblical. And they can deceive you through sports, philosophies, and religions. That's what you call the rulers of the darkness of this world. They're over the whole world. And they get you, boy. They get you by your thoughts. And I'm about to warn you, whatever you're thinking, don't receive it. Uh-uh. And if you don't know for sure, you ask the Holy Spirit, "Holy Spirit, I got this thought. And I don't know how to analyze this. Could you help me?" And you may get the answer immediately, or you may get it while you in the kitchen washing the dishes or something, out there in the yard mowing the lawn, all of a sudden say, "The answer is, what?" You drop everything around. I got the answer, kind of a thing. So they affect your thoughts, your feelings, and your perceptions. I just feel like he knew right. I feel like this. I see it. You don't judge people by what you feel. But the devil can fool them. I know a lot of people, I thought they were, they were awful. But that was the way they were taught. They just knowing it better. And the person just acting according to what they were taught or their perception from their relationship with family members, school friends, and all the other kinds that they have. That was the rules of the doctors. Again, they affect your thoughts. And I warn you again, don't think of you because you're thinking, why am I thinking about doing this? Why did I think that? Why am I thinking this now? You might be laying in bed thinking, why am I thinking, why can't I go to sleep? Why am I thinking this now? That's what the demon trying to get your butt. That's what he's trying to do. All right. Then you got spiritual wickedness in high places. These demons are types of spirits are found in high places. In other words, they hang up high. They when I say high, they good for perverting you. perverting you and getting you to be depraved with people who don't even respect you no more. And they cause you to have a warped mind and your mind all corrupted. People think you're crazy. They need to go to a lunatic when that's a demon working on your butt, you know. Okay. And then you have devils and demons. Those are the regular ones. A demon or devil is a supernatural spirit that possesses the nature of Satan, okay? A demon or devil is a supernatural spirit that possesses the nature of Satan. They possess man. They control your mind and activities. And devils can be worshipped and make people sick, communicate, and involve themselves in a whole bunch of diabolical activities, stuff like that. And then I come to the one that I really want to share. It's called, Okay, I got about 20 more minutes. Familiar spirits. These are the ones that can really get you in trouble. They're like little spies. They follow you everywhere you go. Listen to this. We can encounter familiar spirits who work for Satan. They are like reconnaissance. You know, like somebody going to battle, they go and check it out to see if they can win or not, you know, because they did that in the Bible a couple of times. They go check out the enemy camp and see if they have a chance, if they attack. If not, they turn around and go back home. So familiar spirits, they act as reconnaissance type. They look at you, see what your weaknesses are and everything else. I know where I can get her back or him back. Yeah. She never done it, but she's being tempted. Yeah. She's just kind of making her get nosy when it's what it's like. I'm sure what it's like. See, their job is to spy and take reports back. They spy on you and take reports back to who? To Satan. Okay? And they tell Satan everything you like and don't and dislike, and then boom, you in for it. Because then Satan will say, okay, get you may call out one of his top demons who's a general or something, get him to go assign to Mary or Martha or whatever, since that's what she likes, and she got a hidden feeling that want to do it but scared, but she want to try it out. Say, get demon so-and-so, he's a specialized in it, he know how to get her to try it out. See? So they're familiar spirits. They know your hot spots. That's what I want. If I don't tell you nothing, you better know what a whole a familiar spirit is. They know your hot spots. They know which buttons to push. They know your weakness and your strength. They know your likes, and they know your passions and your pet peeves. And what gets you going, what upsets you, and what distracts you, and your desires and your ambitions and everything, honey. They know all that again. That's how personality is called, familiar spirits. They know which buttons, B-U-T-T-O-N-S, they know which buttons to push. They know your weaknesses. They know your strength. They know your likes, and your dislikes. They know your passions and your pet peeves and what gets you going and what upsets you and what distracts you and your desires and your ambitions and everything, you see. And then familiar spirits also act as informants. In other words, guess what I found out about Mary, Susie, Jenny, John, and James, Lord? Satan? What? And their familiar spirit act as an informant to a larger network of demons. Hear what I say? The familiar spirit follow you around, see what you like. They can look at you, see what you, what books you're reading, what magazine, what channels you're watching. So they're doing kind of, and then go back to Satan and say, I know how we can get her. I know how we can get him, you know? See, familiar spirit as informants to a larger network of demons. They go back and tell the demons, other demons, and the Lord himself. And dig this. They act as informants to a larger network of demons who function as a kind of satanic intelligence. I'm the intelligence. I will spy on them, and I'll take it back to the boss and tell them how we can have victory. Their portfolios include, listen to this, their portfolios include their roles as informants. That's what they do. Go around and say, guess what, boss Satan? They include their roles as informants and counsel to Satan. It tells him, I think you can do this. I think we can catch her this way. I think we can tempt him this way, this kind of thing. And other highly specialized principalities, powers, and rulers. Wow. So their portfolios include their roles as informants and counsel to Satan and other highly specialized principalities. So you got a lot of other big shots, you know, demons. And so not only they tell Satan what you like to do and looking cause you to fall. But they tell the next in power called principalities. Those are next under Satan. Then you got powers. Those are under principalities. And they go rulers. They're under the powers of rulers. And right, they go right down the rank and say, she, he like to do this. She, he like to do this. We watch them so. They did this many times. They did this many times. Son. See, familiar spirits observe very strict protocols. Although they are not employed to attack in addition to what they're supposed to do, their job description will also include what? Examining of spiritual hedges of protection. They're looking at you, too, to see how much you protect. You see, when I say spiritual hedges of protection, I mean we all got the Holy Spirit. I mean those who are still walking with the Lord. But they'd be looking for weaknesses. That's kind of thing. It's spiritual, like you're outside in the yard, and you got hedges around the house. Well, we call it, the Bible calls it spiritual hedges. And they're looking over the hedges to see how you can be attacked and how they can make you fall and turn your back on Jesus. Okay? And then, let's see. Oh, yeah, the last. Oh, yeah. You have unclean spirits. We know what they are. They cause you to sin and do all these other things. They're unclean spirits, yet what? The same spirit Jesus cast out, as the word suggests, their spirit is responsible for, I'll break it down for you. Those spirits are responsible for lewd, promiscuous, and immoral activities. Those are the three primary things, unclean spirits. They're responsible for your lewd actions, your promiscuous, and your immoral activities. Then you got evil spirits. These, as Satan commands, vicious and malicious spirits. They are responsible for what? Promoting terrible, dehumanized conditions. I mean, like them boys out in the country, when I went out in the military, I found out those guys and all, they were deep country boys. They got drafted by the military, and we all had to sleep in the same bunk and everything else. And then he bragged about how they get their sexual desires met. They'd be screwing those female cows and calves out there in the country. I said, Lord, I know. I said, how in the world y'all screw a cow or a calf? Dude, we bring the stool that we are milk them and stuff. No, we just put a stool stamp behind and screw them. I said, Lord have mercy. I never believed that. I would have called the person a liar if I hadn't heard my own ears. Got evil spirits. Command vicious and malicious spirits that are responsible for promoting terrible and dehumanized conditions. They work in concert with other spirits to cause misfortunes to happen to you, misunderstandings to cause you to have accidents and all these other stuff, and get you involved with criminal activities. Then you got seducing spirits. Satan commands seducing spirits, which are responsible for attracting and drawing you into a wrong or foolish course of action. Okay? And then I want to... I'm just going to say, I already told you about this. Demons of the spirit, infirmity, they are spirits that afflict the bodies of believers. Then you got seducing spirits. These spirits afflict the sick of man, seducing him to believe doctrinal lies, seduce him into to stop being, what you used to believe, and mom and dad taught you, you start believing a bunch of lies. And I know a lot of parents recall Cody, the child, They became a devil worshiper. They bought to believe that Jesus had a brother. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus had a brother named Satan. You know, there's a lot of churches around here preaching about the Lord's brother preaching firmly because he was a bad boy. Daddy God kicked him out. But Jesus had a brother. His brother's name is Satan. And he didn't even know how to forgive. They didn't even forgive their own. He didn't forgive their own brother, Satan. Mm-mm. That ain't what the Bible says. The Bible says he had no excuse. He was in the presence of God from the day he was created. Up until then, you know who God is and who the Holy Spirit is and who Jesus is, you know? The spirits that afflict the bodies of believers as well as unbelievers. And then you got seducing spirits. They seduce them to believe, like I said, seducing lies and condemns to. They seduce all kinds of lies and everything else. And Mary, she ain't up a tramp. She went to be with a man he wasn't married. You know, that kind of crap. And then other type, unclean spirits. Remember what I said? They are responsible for immoral acts, unclean thoughts, and temptations, all various types of temptations. And then I got the last two little things. I got about like, about 5 more minutes. How demons gain control? They gain control through your mind. Remember that now. The mind is one of the major battlefields. If Satan controls your thoughts, he got you. It's a mind totally controlled by evil thoughts. So remember, don't let them do that because you think it's something awful. You can say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Just because you think it's something awful, you think you carried out and all that, don't do it. You know, sometimes you find some perverted thought might come into your head. Some, well, I never thought of that. I wonder what's that like. And you say, uh-oh, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Get out of my mind. You got no business there. It belongs to Jesus. It's they want to get your mind totally controlled by their thoughts, those evil spirits. The mind is one of the major battlefields. Remember that. That's where it is. When they want to go war, like we're going to fight the Russians, we go to the Russians. The Russians want to fight us, they come to us. We want to fight the Koreans, we go to the Koreans. Okay? We don't. And you see how blessed we are? They never came over here and fought us because God said, no, not now. Not counting his name. So the mind is how they trick you. Or, you know, how the devil got me to do that? I just don't understand. Well, now you know. When you do something you ain't got no business doing, you follow that evil thought that was in your mind. And you didn't see the evil because you were thinking it, so you're thinking nothing evil. And it might be nasty. I mean, be not the right thing to do. You know, that kind of thing. All right? They come through your mind. That's the primary way, okay? And through demons gain control through sinful acts. You keep on doing it and doing it and doing it. Tell you how you can tell you done messed up and got possessed with that type of demon, that alcohol demon, whatever, because you kept on doing it. And how you can tell is when you truly, 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 prayerfully try to stop doing something, you can't stop it. That means you done let some demons in you. Now, some here, I don't believe that. That's your problem. You can keep on drinking till you drive one day and the devil say, I got him now. He went into an accident. A drunken man died in an automobile accident, ran to a tree, ran to another car, and he got dead. And guess what? And when he died, that angel stepped up to the car and said, come on, Bubba. And you go, huh? And you talk and you think you still the same. You, huh? Come here. And then you get up and you walk right through the door because the door's all slammed shut, you know. And he takes you straight up in the presence of God. And Jesus look at you and tell you all the sins you did and all he done to get you saved. How he had your sister, brother, cousin, all the time. And you tell me you don't want to hear that crap. But he said, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. Okay? So you got some who gain control through your mind. Some gain control through your sinful actions. Just keep on doing it till you just can't get. You just got hooked. And then they get you by desire, through desire. Some people ask Satan to give them power, like a lot of these movie stars, rock stars, and everything else. And I've known personally some sold their soul out to the devil so they can become famous and popular. Some actually the devil. So you've got my soul, because I mean, I may not die until I'm 80. I want famous. I want money. I want recognition. Satan, you got me. You know, and all of a sudden, my pleasure. And then all of a sudden, the guy becomes famous. And everybody says, wow, he came out of nowhere. The devil made that, but guess what? He think he can have a year, a 20, 40 years of glory and recognition, and Satan have his behind killed the very next night. He sold his soul to the devil, thinking he'll be a famous person and everything else. And then Satan calls him, one of them alcoholic demons calls him to drink at the party. Man, I got it made, man. You know, so-and-so called me and told me they want to make me known. Great, 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 man. And the guy died going home from the party, and it'll be an accident. Too late then. And just think, hours before, he sold his soul to the devil so he can be famous and popular. And then through an empty house. Everybody share this one. Empty house. You can gain, a demon can gain control by your empty house. You know what an empty house is? That's, you know, when you was born again, the spirit says, God says, or the word says, the body is the spirit of the Holy Ghost, or the temple. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Well, guess what? You can have an empty house because if you keep on doing it and doing it and doing it, you know, then the Holy Spirit says, I'm out of here. And, you know, see, you got the Holy Spirit. When you accept Christ, you got the Holy Spirit in you. And then all of a sudden, you get tempted by lies. You get tempted by sex. You get tempted by all kinds of perversions and all that stuff. And the minute you do that, let's take, for example, this man laying on top of you and you laying on top of that woman. Are you playing with yourself? Are you playing with another person's organ and all this stuff? Guess what? The Holy Spirit gone. You can't lay down there and let some man lay on top of you and the Holy Spirit, your body's supposed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, oh, heck no. Good thing the Holy Spirit don't curse. You probably say, oh, hell no. Not in here. The Holy Spirit gone. And the person don't know. And there's a lot who are doing all this stuff, cheating on their wives or just who's single, who are just having all kind of fornication left and right. They're screwing man, woman, animal, everything. Okay, children, the whole nine yards. The Holy Spirit ain't there no more, and they don't even know it. And then they die of a heart attack, and then boom, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you. That's an empty house. Empty house means the Holy Spirit ain't going to stay around there when you're doing things with your body that you ain't got no business doing. I'm talking about the whole nine yards, fornication, masturbation, adultery, the whole nine yards, okay? Holy Spirit gone, because your body can't be the temple of the Holy Spirit no more. You ain't going to go, you ain't going to no church every Sunday if you walk in there and find BM all over the floor, and urine all on the seats and everything, you get your butt out of there. Well, that's the way that the Holy Spirit sees it. And then demons gain control because your permission, devil to come in and make you pop and all that, okay? So, I guess that's about it. That's all I got to say. I just want to close with this and say, when you're about to, ready to minister deliverance, you got to do about five things. Remember this. You must begin with worship and praise. You must create an environment of faith. You must pray, you and your group that's going to try to do it. And then you got to, and then you ask God to reveal to you what's wrong with that person. Is that person, no, you ask God to tell you, show you what to do, okay, in prayer. And God may reveal a word of knowledge to you, say, this is her, his problem. Do this, do that, do them, do those. And you follow him, and that deliverance will be perfect. And God will even give you the scripture. So when you shout out some scripture, that scripture might be related to the problem that that person has. And that devil listens to him, oh, Lord, how she know that? God, dog, you know, thou shalt not fornicate. Oh, and you're trying to cast a fornication demon out of a person. You come, thou shalt not fornicate. And demon go, oh, God, she just said the word of God to me. I got to get out of here, you know. And then God will give you a vision. You might, like look in the clouds of them, and all of a sudden you can see a picture of that person and what they were doing and what their weaknesses are. You might see the person actually performing that in the spirit. And God will give you words of faith. And then God, think this, God will give you a special anointing. God will give you a special anointing. And there's four areas of sin. One is spiritual. One is physical. When I say spiritual, that's sin. You violating the words of God. Then you got physical realm. That means your body sick because you turn your back on God and you can't figure out why you sick all the time. And then you got mental problem, the mind. You know, your mind ain't got what? Because you start believing all kind of crap to people think you crazy when you walk in. And all the thing is Jesus, that kind of stuff. And then you got emotional attack, emotional. That means you overbearing when it comes to fear and anger and bitterness. You ready to break out a window, throw something across the room, and all that, even choke the child or whatever, or shake the child, or cuss them like champ and everything else. And then determine the time to pray. I am out of time, folks, and I want to say God bless you. God really bless you. This is Brother John checking out, and have a blessed day.